outside the box of religious obligation lies a road less travelled, into the heart of Bavada's affection. Slinging freedom all over the place, this is the God Gene. The God Gene. The God Gene.
I love that, slinging freedom all over the place. Hi, Wayne Jacobson here, your host for The God Journey. And today we're doing something with the conversation we had on Sunday. A bunch of us from around the world got together for a God Journey after show podcast. I don't always plan to share those conversations, but this one needs to be shared. There's some interesting things that were discussed, and I think it'll be encouragement to you. But before we do that, I know we said we were finished with Kenya, that we'd completed the work God gave us to do there, and we had. But we've been asked one more time if we could help out with an emergency situation. Two nearby tribes to those that were helping who settled in the region later, who've also come to faith and trust. Their river has dried up. They've been coming into the villages that we've helped already, walking 7-8 miles to get there, to get water. And now they're wanting to get food from the crops, but there's not enough food from those crops to service everybody. So we've been asked if we could send 12,000, about 11,400 in aid, to help initially with food and medicine and some of the things that are going to help them with the COVID virus. And then we've been asked if we'd help them drill a well each in their own villages so that they could begin to make some progress themselves. We received a check this week that would allow us to begin to do some of that. I'm going to need some of your help as well. If you'd like to, there's more information at the bottom of this podcast notes. If you got some money you want to help us help these people in Kenya, we'd love to hear about it. But now, welcome to the God Journey After Show.
If there's time, I wouldn't mind talking a bit more about embracing the glory of God.
Okay, is there something specific you have about that, Ian? Or?
I did note on the second one, you did do a bit of a definition of it being the presence of God. And definitely that's what I've always thought, okay, it's the presence of God when he does sort of come through, and I'm glad you said it's not always bells and whistles and all that, because sometimes I really don't feel anything, but there's in my heart I just know he's there, and does worry increase sometimes? Yes, but I just wondered, is it about just the presence, that living presence that we know is in our hearts with us all the time?
I think what I was trying to say on that podcast, maybe not said it well, but my idea of God's glory is the radiance of his person. So when we talk about God's presence, everybody has certain connections with that, either an emotive moment in a worship service or goosebumpy feelings, and I'm really trying to pull it away from that. It's not that sense of God's presence, which sometimes is real and sometimes we manipulate that response. There's lots of ways to manipulate it, particularly in gatherings with singing and worship. And there's lots of ways to make people feel like God's present when God isn't actually doing anything. It's actually a lot of human stuff. To me, it's the radiance of his person. It's his character. It's the nature of God as he makes himself known to us. And that's not necessarily a feeling. I wouldn't even say primarily it's feeling. It's nice when that feeling is there. It really is. But I don't think that's the goal or that's the object. I know people who try and seek that and are frustrated. They don't feel it as often as they want to feel it. But to me, that's more a byproduct than something to go out and pursue, because I think we can orchestrate that in our own mind. So me, it's God's wisdom, God's integrity of his person, God's trustworthiness. It's just the nature of his character. That when I interface with it, when he's breathing something into my heart, when I see it reflected to me in another brother or sister, to me, that's the glory of God.
I've very definitely had those wonderful feelings. And I think I exchanged email once before about asking you whether you'd prayed, because as I woke up, I got this wonderful sort of all tingly and lovely feeling. And it's just so peaceful. That's not often around, but it doesn't mean that God isn't around. He's always there. But it's been a while that my heart is now, I would say, since this pandemic's been going on, that I've really been focusing on, okay, God, how do you care about me? And trying to let go of the idea that I should be caring for that. But I don't need to do any of that. What I primarily need to find out is, once God is showing his love to me, then all the other stuff will come. Because for many years, I've just been wondering, how come I don't do very much? Mm-hmm. And I've waited for God to talk to me, to say, is there something I should be doing more, you would like me? And I don't get much.
In terms of what does God want us doing, there's a lot of things as a young man growing up where I felt like called to a lot of stuff, to do a lot of stuff for God. And it wasn't until I got in my 40s when I realized that what God really wants us to do is loving the people around us, loving people in front of us today and caring for them. And I find most of the valuable things God wants me to do just rises out of loving the people right in front of me. And whether it's family, whether it's a stranger on a street where it used to be people next to me on an airline seat, which I was thinking that I haven't been on an airline in now 8 months or about 5 months. And it really feels good. I haven't been to an airport. I've sat on an airplane. So, but yeah, I think loving people and that almost all the good stuff that people stumble into that they end up doing down the road started because of someone they loved and saw some fruit in the loving and then found some other people to love. And it just kind of grew out of the loving, not out of having a mission from God and a task and going out and trying to do it. Though I don't think that's wrong either. God may call us to a task, but I think primarily the task he's called us to is loving and being learning selflessness and engaging people around us that way. So
I think in some of the circles I've been in, you get that. I've been called into this. And then 5 minutes later, God's calling me out. And I've had lots of discussions about commitment and God's character and how God's character is one of commitment. And he doesn't break those commitments. And he wouldn't call you into something to call you back out to cause a lurch and break commitment. So it's that calling gets used as such a scapegoat.
It's frustrating, I think, how much people feel God's called them to do something, and that means you give them money so they can do it. And so it's a big fundraising deal. And then when it doesn't work out in some way, well, God didn't call me to it. Or even the lady I worked with last year on a book and worked through the whole 8 months and really had all these specific prophecies about doing this book. And then at the very end, just decide she was going to go another way with it. And just God had called her to do something else. And it's very frustrating to go, okay, God's the great excuse. So when you don't want to do what you said you wanted to do, then I'll pull God as the trump card. When you've been pulling God for 5 months saying, God's telling me to do this. God's telling me to do this. God's changed his mind. When we get back to the radiance of his character, I love how consistent God's word is with his actions. God's not capricious. God's not all, let's do this, let's do this. Oh, I'll change my mind and do all this. God's just so trustworthy in his ability to lead us and guide us into his grace. And I love that about him.
One of the conclusions I've come to just recently is that I truly believe, and you can tell me if I'm way off here, but I just think that God is a God of yes. He just wants to be in the journey with us. And it's not about, oh, don't go to this area. That's not where I'm calling you. It's sure, we could go there or we could go over here. I think you'd have warnings and closed doors and open doors and things like that for sure. But I don't think he's so restrictive. Like, boy, you moved to South Dakota and now you're out of my will. You know,
Well, if you're in South Dakota, you probably are. That's probably a bad example. But...
So, I just think he's like, I will provide opportunities for you to share my glory and spread my word wherever you go.
Courtney and I talked about that a little bit in the podcast I did with her, where whether she moves to Austin or moves to Memphis or moves somewhere else, it's if God has a will about that, I think he can lean in and say, I really have something for you here. If he doesn't, then it's like wherever you go, I'm still going to do my work to you and whatever. I know for us moving to Southern California, I would never have moved here. I mean, when we sold our home and God said, hey, this is between me and Sarah. I want you to go wherever Sarah wants to go. And I'm like, oh, gee whiz, that's scary. But I thought Sarah liked all the same stuff I did, so it'd be safe. And when she wanted to move here, and then all the things God's done because we've lived here, my relationship with Brad, the shack, I mean, so many things happened that could have happened if I'd moved elsewhere, maybe. But it was real specific, but I would have never heard that because I would have never. So God said, look, let Sarah choose. And then Sarah chooses the place we needed to be, which was awesome. But I didn't think so at the time.
I'm Jamie. I'm from Kentucky.
Hi, Jamie.
I'm having a really hard time just of late. I think the whole watching George Floyd's just die in front of my eyes and processing that has been so traumatic for me. And I've been out of the institution for like 20 years. So I've got some Christian friends, but my family, we've all got the same chances, pull yourself up by your bootstraps kind of thing. This is my extended family, not my children and my husband. But I'm feeling like I don't have, because of the pandemic, I'm normally with a lot of unbelievers. I just kind of, I'm one of those people that goes through the grocery store and makes new friends and stuff like that. And I can't do that. And I don't know. I guess I feel alone in my grief because I know that the people that are Christians around me don't seem to have the same ideas. And I've listened to, gosh, Wayne, I can't even think of your book that I've listened to and read with Arnita and,
yep. And Language of Healing.
Yeah. I've bought the audio book and read it. And it's just, I feel like I'm in such a time of grief and lament, and there's like nobody that I can connect with. I mean, besides God, and we're connecting, but it's like sometimes I just want that fellowship of somebody else. And I feel like the people around me that I've heard, oh, you know, Black people have the same advantages that we do, you know, just all that stuff that we've been hearing. I'm wondering if anybody has any tips on how to connect with people, not on Facebook. I got off of Facebook because it was so stressful. Just right now, I feel I'm so sick of everybody fighting. Like, I don't want to fight with my family. I don't want to have to explain to them. I mean, it's just, it feels overwhelming. And I'm not a person who normally cries all the time, but like I'm crying all the time and things are just touching me. And yet the Christians around me just want to talk politics about COVID and having to wear masks and being afraid of having to have mandatory vaccinations and this and that. And I'm like, I feel like my head's going to explode. And I'm like, where is Jesus in all of this? Why are you all focused on the United States government? Why are we focused on political stuff? Why can't we love one another? Why? And I know, you know, you and Arnita and Bob seem to be like such strong people that have tough skin. And right now I'm feeling very vulnerable and fragile. Like I don't want to tell somebody they're wrong because I can hardly handle it myself. I'm having to redo things after 50 plus years of believing lies. I just wonder how you all are connecting with other people, especially if any of you don't belong to a institutional church. Anybody have any tips?
Well, I'm Jan. And Jamie, I can so relate to what you're saying because I just got back from just a getaway. I just needed some time away and went with one of my family members and their grandkids and stuff for just a little getaway. And what I said to Tom, my husband, was, I can't listen to another Fox News. I can't listen to another interpretation of what's going on in the world. And even with him, and he and I have a great relationship, but I just finally said, baby, I can't hear anymore about what your beliefs are about this. I know what they are. But I think for me, Jamie, it comes down to everybody wants to fix the situation that we're in. And quite honestly, it can't be fixed. And that's the sad part about it. But and it's kind of takes us back to the garden because somebody's got to be blamed for this. And so what I've just had to process in my own mind is, where am I going to stand in the midst of what I believe? And I'm going to give myself permission to grieve when I was grieving. I was literally, and I'm a very positive person most of the time, but I was literally just feeling anxious all the time, which I never, ever do. So what I had to do is I had to pull myself away from that for a while and basically just say, you know what? I am grieving. I'm grieving the loss of relationships that I used to be able to just call up and say, let's go grab a cup of coffee. And just all of those things, I had to list what I'm grieving and give myself permission to do that. And know that I can't fix that for me either. You know, I have to be honest with how I'm feeling. And so that I don't have to listen to all everybody else's beliefs. And I don't have to listen to how everybody wants to fix it.
It seems like there's such strong opinions that, like in my family, they're very Christian conservative, I guess you would say. And I used to be that way myself. And I feel like God's spirit has just kind of brought me out of that over, it's been years, but it's like, they're still listening to conservative radio and these, you know, people that incite all this stuff, and they're not open to anything else. And it's like, these are the only people that are around me. And then I can't be around even, you know, people that have differing opinions because I'm stuck in my house. I'm high risk for COVID. I have a daughter that's high risk for COVID. I feel isolated. And I miss throwing just a smile at somebody at the grocery store. And I want to talk to somebody on a deeper level.
Yeah, listen to you talk, Jamie. I don't know anybody that really that when I get together with people around here that we're talking about COVID. We rarely are. We're not talking about face masks, not face masks. And I realize sometimes I've changed the conversation. I've got friends that are politically on the opposite page of me. And if we get into that, I don't have time for it. And I'll usually just say, hey, could we talk about, you know, Jesus and what God's showing you? And just, you know, just could we have a COVID-free conversation? I've actually said that to people. Because it's not helpful. We wallow in it, and your friends. I bet you, if you had a few of your Christian friends and said, "Hey, why don't we jump on a Zoom thing or something on Thursday at 10 o'clock? Like we're having coffee together, but we're not. Let's have a COVID-free conversation or a political-free conversation." I bet your friends and even family are going, "I would love that." I think they're as sick of it as you are. In fact, people talk about it because they're afraid, right? So it's only increasing their fears. So if you invite them out of that into a very different conversation, or just say, you know what, let's put all that aside right now. I want to talk about something. And just, I find people talk about Jesus best when I do. When I just start, here's something I was thinking about the other day. And then somebody else went, oh, I was thinking about this. And it turns into a whole different thing. So it's not necessarily you got to have a new set of friends. Maybe it's just switch the conversation. Because it's just, we're bathed in it because the media bathes us in it, and we're just frustrated. And the Christian leaders pull us into that judging, angry framework. And I just think there's a better conversation to be had. I wouldn't think it's necessarily I got to find new friends. It's maybe I take the friends I have, the people I'm close to who do know Jesus. They may be lost politically, and they may be, you know, their fears come out in political ways. It's kind of weird. Or they want to argue over face masks and I just say, hey, I don't really care. Could we have another conversation? And when I don't have the angst to convince them out of their little conservative neurosis, I find I have really good conversations with people I have very little politically in common with.
I think that's people good. Right now are just, we're looking for hope. We're looking for a place that's peaceful and not chaotic. And so I think we can bring that to the table with our friends is the peace that we have, and that we can express that peace and that hope that we have, you know, to those that are in chaos.
I guess the hard thing for me is trying, because it is my nature to want to correct incorrectness. Mm-hmm. Like if somebody's believing a lie, like I want to expose that and say, look, here's the, you know, I was in the healthcare field for a while. And it's like some of this stuff that the science, the pseudoscience that they're putting out there, it's just insane. You know, I have this wanting to correct, but then I feel like the Holy Spirit isn't telling me not to it as gently as possible. But then it's like, it's hard for me to, because I do want to be on the same page as they are. I want to have a connection. And Wayne, thank you for saying I don't need all new friends. Because, I mean, honestly, I'm so stressed. And I've been so stressed about the whole racial thing, especially, that I feel like nobody shares my you know, my new understanding of that, I feel like I, you know, and I want to correct it and say, but look at this, you know, but then it's like, I'm trying to stand back and go, if the Holy Spirit's not in it, they're not going to be open to it anyway. So it's like, I do kind of feel like maybe I need a whole new set of friends or a whole new family, which I can't have. And I want to go into that being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and speaking when I need to speak, but being quiet when I don't need to speak.
And you need to, you need the freedom not to correct people, because you either have friendships or you correct people, because they're not the same thing. Nobody likes to be corrected all the time. I love just dropping in a statement now and then that gets people to think differently. I'll just drop in, well, yeah, I'm not that, I think that's kind of crazy. If they want to pursue it, we'll pursue it. But then it's not like correcting them. If it's like, you're wrong, and I'm going to tell you why you're wrong. Now I'm correcting them, right? And the relationship just dies. So I think there's a more subtle way. I think God can give you more subtle ways to really enjoy the relationship and then maybe drop in something now and then and then see if they take the bait. If they're coming at you, then yeah, you can have a great discussion about it. If their defenses go up, now if I keep trying to talk to them about something they don't want to talk about, I am pushing them deeper into their darkness. And that's what I stopped doing this about 20 years ago, and I have loved that. I'll invite you out as far as you want to come, and then when the walls go up, it's not my job to fix you. That's the Holy Spirit's job. He said he would convict. That's his job. I'm a lover in the world, so I get to love. And if my loving gets to help you see something you don't see, I'm all in. But if I've got to help you see something you don't see, like I'm correcting you, that never turns out well.
It seems it's hurtful. I mean, I have... of the past, I don't know, maybe decade, I've started to just shut up and not say anything. And then it's like, I hear things being said, you know, holidays or whatever, about people that I know and love, LGBTQ people, just whoever, people that I've crossed that are in my circle now. And it's like little comments that come out from my niece or my, you know, my brother-in-law or whatever. And it's like, it's hurtful. And I do just shut up. I don't say anything because I don't feel led to say anything. But then it's like, what do we have in common?
Well, that's what you find. And relationships always find, what do we have in common? But also a relationship is never victimized. So if I feel like you've come into my home and you're being rude to someone I love, even if they're not in the room, but you make a comment that's rude, I'm going to actually poke you a little bit. I'm going to actually just say, hey, I think that's rude. And those are people I care about. That's me. All I'm going to say and move on and see where they go with it. But I think once we, the same thing with correcting people is a problem. Being a victim of other people's rudeness is also a problem. One of my favorite lines in the last podcast was a friend of mine who just said, I'm only beginning to realize how rude my faith made me. My gosh, that's such a powerful discovery. I've been through that discovery myself, and I'm still discovering that. But so if you're feeling victimized by the religiousness of people around you, then you may need to find some friends or at least a way to poke back a little bit, because you can't just sit there and take it. There's people that need to be stood up for. And part of the whole racial equality things that need to happen right now, even if it costs me listeners on the God journey, whatever, there's people to stand up for right now. And if that's offensive to you, well, I've got other friends. So I don't really need you to be in my world if you're offended by me talking about people I love in ways you don't like. I'll let you talk about people you love in ways I don't like. I'm going to give you the same space I want for me. So just be alive in a conversation and let God kind of move when to say, when not to say, and don't have to hear from God. Just kind of live out of the growing sensitivity he's developing in you. That line from Matthew 11 that Eugene Peterson used in the message, the unforced rhythms of grace, those are still here. God's not changed. We like living in stress-free environments, but the voice of God, the glory of God in the midst of dire times is still the same. There's an unforced rhythm of grace. And maybe it's harder to tune our heart to it because we get overwhelmed with other stuff, but it's still there. And now we're going to learn to find our certainty in him rather than circumstance. I think that's a great thing. I think to relax into the day, to let this day be what it is, who's in it, who's not in it, who I'm missing, just let it be what it is and invite God into that grief with us and find a different pacing. And it can be sorrow. There can be sorrow in it. I don't think God's pacing is it's happy every day. I'm just, God's alive. All's right with the world. All's right. All is not right with the world, except that God's still in it with us and we're not alone.
Hi, my name's Richard and I am from the Maritimes, East Coast of Canada. And the one thing that is impressed on my heart more than anything else during this time, COVID-19 thing in Canada is a different creature than it is in the States. It's still a killer, but with the politics involved with it, it's just something that I have to really turn away from. But the prayer that's in my heart most days, and it's a very real thing, is, Father, be glorified in this moment in my life right now. Be glorified in all that I know and all, especially all that I don't know, all that I don't understand. Be glorified in me. And I think of Jesus when he was saying that, Father, the glory that you've given to me, I've given to them as well. And you have been glorified, but glorify your name afresh in me. And he was talking about his soon approach to being nailed to the cross. Really, when we have no ability to articulate the deep stirrings within our heart, I keep resorting to, Father, be glorified. Not a vain, repetitious prayer, but from my heart, Father, be glorified in this situation. Jamie, when you were talking about the George Floyd situation, the much of what Wayne has been sharing regarding the racial thing in the States, and when I'm prompted by the Lord to think about the racial injustice and the things that are happening, the only thing I can come to is, Father, be glorified in that situation. In the COVID thing, Father, be glorified. Rather than attributing blame to who did this first or whatever, Father, be glorified in this situation. And I don't have the ability to comprehend throughout the earth, throughout my province, throughout my country, throughout the world, how the Spirit of the living God is moving in direct proportion to those that are hungry for him. Whether they believe what I believe or they see things the way that I see, God's Spirit is responding to those that want to know him. But I want to make myself available to anybody that is like you, Jamie, that you're in a situation where there's nobody. I'm a nobody too, but I'm a somebody in Christ. And so I'm just simply making myself available.
I want to know that other people care, I guess, that they saw what I saw and it affected them deeply.
I bet there are people you know who would. I mean, you may not think they would. I mean, people are coming to a birthday party and you're hurting and trying to get them in that same framework. Yeah, people are going to miss that. But if you don't have a person that you can call and say, can I process this with you? I bet you do. I bet the Holy Spirit has someone. It may not be the first person on your mind, but there's someone there who may even not that they have to hurt over the same situation you're hurting over, because they may not have the political philosophy to do that. Billy, have enough love for you to hurt where you hurt. And I'd ask the Holy Spirit, if not, then maybe someone on here, because I know from other conversations we've done, the God journey, relationships have spun off of this. People feel like, gosh, there's a connection here. I'd love to talk to you later. And if that's, and people usually write me saying, you know, so-and-so, I'd love to connect with them. And I don't connect. I never share your contact information without your permission. But what I would do, if one of you wrote me and said, I'd love to be in touch with Jamie, I would say, write me a letter to her. I will forward it to Jamie and then let Jamie decide whether it's a relationship she wants to pick up on or not. I always feel like that's important. Maybe there's someone here, maybe someone who listens to this, if we play it as a God Journey podcast, can say, man, I have a heart for that. I'd love to talk. I'm in Kentucky. You know, I know people in Kentucky who would be able to process this kind of thing with you.
I would love that. That was one of the reasons why I wanted to join, because I just feel like I don't have any place to go to find people right now that I can.
Yeah, it's just always harder to start here. So if you already have a relationship that knows you a little bit, it's easier to invite someone who already knows you into, hey, I've got some pain I'm processing. Would you help me? Most people, I think, have any heart at all for anything would say, yes, I would love to. But maybe you've got nobody in your life that would care two hoots that wounded you the way it did. And I'd be surprised if that's true. But yeah, let's find somebody else then that can help you. We weren't meant to kind of endure this stuff alone. So I hope you can think of someone. I hope the Holy Spirit brings someone to mind, even if it's some lady you met in a church 20 years ago and haven't talked to since, but the Holy Spirit brings her to mind. Find a way to get in touch with her and just say, hey, Holy Spirit put you on my heart. I've got some things to process. Would you help me? Any of us probably in this conversation, right here, if I got a phone call like that, you would love it. You wouldn't go, oh, crud, I don't want to help somebody with their pain. I think people are very more than willing to crawl into people's hurts with us.
Wayne, I think one of the things that we don't do well is to validate people and normalize what they're going through, because I think we have a misconception of what validation is. And I used illustration with my kids growing up. When they would tell me how they felt, I would want to change those feelings, and I wouldn't want to validate those feelings because I was afraid they would stay stuck in those thoughts and those feelings. And I think we don't validate because we don't really understand what validation is. And validation is me saying to Jamie, I understand that you feel that way. And it's normal that you would have those feelings. And we validate what you feel, not what I say is the right feeling to have. And so for me, a big thing in my relationship with other people is, how can I validate that person and say, I understand that that's the way you're feeling about this situation, and it's normal that you're feeling that way. And those two things, validation and normalizing, can bring a relationship in a good place together. It's not where I'm trying to fix you. It's not where I'm trying to change your mind.
Yeah, it opens doors for communion. So that's good stuff for just other relationships that we have. And providing a listening ear right now, and there's a lot of that kind of stress and in the world around you, people you know. And providing a place for them to do that is probably a good takeaway from this for everybody. Who do you know that you could give an ear to? Who do you know that you could open a door for that kind of conversation?
Listening to that, and it just brought home something that God has been speaking to me. I wrote to Wayne about something that happened with my daughter, which she just decided to stop talking to me for whatever reason. Very hurtful, but giving that validation and listening ear into that circumstance has totally turned it around.
Or there's a grace about seeing the world through someone else's eye. It's, I just can't stand to watch you go through this alone, so I'm going to get into it with you. And that's the power of it. It's a real gift to give somebody that kind of presence when all of us would prefer to run from pain and got enough pain in our own life to manage that entering into someone else doesn't always sound fun. But it is where grace lies, when you're willing to embrace someone else's pain and get in it with them and see what God does.
The people around me just seem to act like they don't have any, there's nothing wrong. Like they don't see any, you know, I don't know, even with the pandemic, everything's just great. And with all the racial unrest and, you know, in all the killings. And I mean, I live close to where Breonna Taylor, it's right in my city, and all that's going on. So I don't know. It's weird to me. And even, like I said, family and friends, and they're like, what? We're all good. It's all good. And I'm like, oh, I'm not all good. So how can you talk to somebody when they feel like everything's all good?
Well, I think it's a defense mechanism. I think that we all put layers around our heart to keep from hurting. And I think that we can become immune to what's going on in our world without compassion, that we literally have just shut down. We've built a wall around ourselves and said, you know, so what? I'm not going to feel anything about this particular situation. And it just goes back to pain. It goes back to us not wanting to feel the pain. And you are deeply, Jamie, feeling the pain of someone else's tragedy.
Yeah, it's just a form of denial. Yeah. They need love too. They need love to come out of that someday. So yeah, don't write them off because of it, but then they're not the empaths you're going to look for when you need help with your own.
One of the things that I really enjoyed about the last episode of Embracing His Glory, but I believe you said something to the effect of Jesus ushered in a new dimension and a new reality with the kingdom of God. And I think that as we try to process, like I'm thinking of Nicodemus when Jesus says to him, you must be born again. This wasn't some Palestinian ditch digger. This was a very smart guy. And yet he had no comprehension of this new dimension, this new reality, in terms of the litmus test or whatever you want to call it, to evaluate whether I'm feeling the Lord, sensing the Lord, whatever. We're using our natural senses to try to tap into a dimension and a reality that is just so, it includes what we feel, but it supersedes, it transcends what we feel.
I think you're right. I mean, the kingdom of God, if we had a real sense of it, like there's this kingdom superimposed in the temporal world that we see, touch, feel, and that becomes our reality, what we, the sensual world, what we can touch and feel and see, and to know that there's an invisible reality in, and I mean, take that down to the circumstance I'm in right now. There's an invisible reality that supersedes the one that I see. Now, Jesus, how will you open my eyes so that I can see that? And I'm going to live by that which is unseen rather than that which is seen, which is the whole language of faith and trust, right? It's not, so many people try and faith, negotiate faith and trust in what I have, what I see, what I feel, what I, and they grope with it because it's just impossible to find faith in what we see and know just from our senses. And that's why you say, Nicodemus, look, you got to start all over. There's a whole different, where the wind blows where it wills, so is everyone. There's a wind that's blowing in the midst of the pandemic that is the breath of the Spirit that takes us to a reality that's different from the media. And if we're filling our minds with media, I think even more than 30 minutes a day, that ought to be plenty of media for anybody. Maybe 10 is more accurate. But if we're filling our minds, if there's a channel in the background, a 24-hour news channel in the background, if there's Facebook feeds with all the political crud on it, if that's the world you live in, and you say, man, I'm not aware of anything God's doing around me, that's why. Because we're so filled with the sensual, we can't step back and go, okay, now I want to see into this kingdom. And that's quieting my heart. That's finding that unforced rhythm of grace. That's finding that other drumbeat that's coursing through the creation. But it's not the drumbeat of humanity. It's that drumbeat of the Holy Spirit that's more invitation than imposition. It's not God compelling us. It's God inviting us. And everything else about the media, everything else about the wind of the world is in your face, gale force, right? And the wind of the Spirit is this gentle breeze that cools and refreshes. That's where the word Sirayu came from that was used in the shack. It's the Hindu word for that little gentle breath of cold air, cool air that comes on a hot day. And that's the wind we want to zero in on. That's the breath of the Spirit. And what I'm hoping is more people get tuned to that and tune out all the influences, even from Christian media, which is as speculative and as divisive and as broken as the world media. There's no difference. People send me these, this really helped me with the pandemic. I start looking at it and I'm going, oh my gosh, there's nothing here. This guy's speculating some prophetic thing that's completely not in touch with the kingdom I know. And yet people are listening to it and passing it along because it's giving them hope. Why? Because it's speculative. It's out there. It's November. So I can take hope out there, which is always what speculation is. Instead of, no, the kingdom of God is right here. It's within you. It's now. It's not later. How do I lean into that reality? And that's, man, when we do that, then we can navigate whatever comes our way in the world without the fear and anxiety and terror that the world's trying to sell us. Because fear sells. That's every news cable channel producer knows that fear sells. Right. Trauma sells. We stew in it. We're not meant to see that stuff that way. We're just not. We weren't wired for it. And yet people who do it get disturbed, so they go buy stuff. That's why advertisers love advertising on fear-based entities, because people buy stuff to medicate fears, or they eat stuff, or they drink stuff. That Colossians 1 prayer, I love it. You know, the eyes of your heart and the ears of your heart be open to see the realities, the ways in which God works. Because when you know how God works, then you're free to do your work. And most of us are working for God because we're afraid he's not doing anything. Instead of, once I know how God's working, I know how to join him. And then I don't know how he's working, then I'm just in my fear and anxiety and even my frustration with other people, I'm trying to get something to happen instead of, no, there's a way God works.
And maybe more so right now with the way it's just so polarized and so controversial. It really feels like the salmon swimming upstream. When you're following after the Holy Spirit, it is very contrary. And it almost feels like you're you're not giving what's going on enough attention. But it's that's not where my focus is supposed to be. My focus is supposed to be on where the Lord would have me go. And it's not that I'm not giving that attention. It's that's not where my attention is deserved. My attention is deserved towards the Father and His Spirit and keeping going in that direction.
The reality for me is to keep that eternal perspective, but also live in the moment. And I think in the midst of all of the things that I hear, you know, on the news or whatever, it robs from me to live in that moment. And the living in the moment is when I'm going to know right now at this moment, God, what do you want me to be doing? Because I'm either looking at the what ifs or the if onlys of my life. And I'm looking at my past of, you know, if only I'd have done this, or I'm looking at my future to say, well, what if, what, you know, what is going to happen next week? What's going to happen next year? But God just calls us to give, and He only gives us the grace and the Holy Spirit for this moment, right now, where we are on this podcast. That's the moment that God's going to be in. And that's where I have to go. God, am I living in the moment, or am I looking in at the past, or am I looking at the future? It's in the moment that we're going to get what we need from God.
We're working out what the Son of Man, Jesus, had to experience. I'm not saying every time He went out early in the morning or whenever it was, and He'd go out to be by Himself, this was the only thing that was happening. But I believe in those moments, He was getting His head right. He was acquainted with everything and experienced everything that we are experiencing as a human being.
Hearing God isn't always what He wants us to do. Sometimes it's just what we need to see. And what we need to see will tell us what we need to do or how we need to respond. But I love that.
Jesus is the most practical person you can talk about. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But there's like this world philosophy, I need to know what's going on in the world so I can be prepared to kind of handle it or whatever. And I think that's just a lie. What I need to know is the present reality of Jesus right now. And to have a conversation with somebody and connect over Him is the most practical thing we can do. Yeah. Most life-giving thing we can do.
Thank you for traveling with us today on The God Journey. You can join this conversation by visiting thegodjourney.com.